Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 161, the back out on the porch episode. I am on the porch, and up until about 2 seconds ago, you could hear all the birds. Now I can hear a big plane flying overhead. Not quite the sonic experience I was hoping to give you, but with any luck, it will pass on by. You'll hear some more birds. This morning was just crazy. It's April 2nd, by the way, 2015, Thursday. I'm a Thursday girl again. Oh my goodness. And I do hope to get this posted today. We shall see. Now, I have not finished quilting the quilt I'm now calling the Big Star Quilt, the quilt I'm making for my friend Sarah. And we'll see. I'm not even going to say it. Maybe I'll get it done this weekend. I won't get it done this weekend. Perhaps I could, but let's just not go there. I'm having fun. It looks good. And I will try to get a good picture to post of the progress I've made so far. I'm enjoying the quilting, and it looks neat, etc. Today, the man and I went to Eli Whitney, North Carolina, for the 84th Uncle Eli quilting party, which is really cool. I didn't go last year. I was in Missouri last year, so it's kind of fun to go back, and it was great. We went to see the sights, of course, but also went to make a little documentary. Tiny. I mean, this is going to be like 2 minutes long at the most, maybe three, because we did get some good interviews. I did not. Actually, the man did all the work. But we're doing this one for the Folklife Institute to put on their website and also to put in their newsletter. I will, of course, post it on my blog. And one of these days, I really am going to make this quilting website that it collects stuff that I'm interested in, sort of a repository for the stuff that's interesting me. And hopefully we'll have some kind of some interactive qualities to it, and certainly some videos. The many exciting things. One of the really cool things was that I made a new friend. And this is very exciting because it turns out she is one of the heritage quilters from up in Warrenton. Her name is Belinda. And what happened was, so the man thought we should interview a few people. We talked about they would just want to do what's called B-roll in the biz, in the doc biz. You know, just him walking around and videoing, taping, filming, whatever you call it. And then I would just do narrate over the B-roll. Or did we want to try to do some interviews? And I felt a little nervous about that. It's, you know, the last time I was there a couple years ago, I actually did interview people and got some really good audio, which I've always meant to put together, and maybe now I'll be inspired to do this and put it on my fantasy website that may or may not happen in the next 4 to 6 years. But it's different doing it for video, and I felt a little nervous. I'm like, oh, maybe we should just do B-roll and then I'll narrate over that. And he said, well, you know, it's always good to have people. And in fact, we were talking before we got specific about what we wanted to do today. We were talking about documentary photography versus documentary film. And what we both liked about documentary film or audio documentary is we like hearing people talk. We like people's voices. And so when we started talking specifically about what we wanted to do today, he said, well, you know, we were talking about you do like to hear people talk. And it's just a matter of finding people and hopefully getting them to say interesting things. So I scouted, and he's a very good interviewer. He does this at work with politicians. So, and the interesting thing is that people do want to talk. People are always interested, not always, but are often interested in telling you about what interests them and why. And I knew when we got there, there was one woman in particular who I had talked to last time named Libby McBain. She does this every year. Her mother, Nanny Lou McBain, who is still living, but elderly and has Parkinson, and was there today. But her mother was one of the people who really kept this tradition alive. It started 84 years ago, and it was just so 1931. And I think at that time, her mother would have been a girl. But in the 40s and 50s, there were just three women who really kept this tradition going and have kept it going for many, many years. I mean, I think well over 50 years. And the children, the very much grown children of these women, are very loyal to the event, and I knew Libby would be there. And so and she always sits, or always, the last time. She was exactly where I saw her last time, which was at a big quilting frame. And I set the man over, and I said, and she's a good talker, and she's funny, and she's a bit of a character. So he interviewed her, and I was watching, and I turned, and I saw a woman standing there, and it was interesting because she had her name tag, had, you know, her name Belinda, and then it said Henderson, NC, which is a little bit up the road from Eli Whitney. We're about 35 minutes from Eli Whitney, and Henderson's over an hour. And I went up to her and I said, "Hey, do you come here often?" And it's funny because we were talking and I said Henderson, and you know, it's like, "Oh, that's up by Warrenton," and you know, said something about, you know, being a volunteer with the NC Folklife Institute and being here to make a documentary. And she said, "Do you know Jerry Ann King?" And like, well, of course, because everybody in the world knows Jerry Ann King. And she gave him a big hug. And she's just like, "All right, we're friends." And it was exciting. We just made the connections. And she's like, "Well, I'm a heritage quilter." I'm like, "Oh, what?" And what was the many exciting things? One, because clearly this was a person with a lot of personality and interesting, you know, because she'd come so far away. So I knew if she would agree to be interviewed, she could be a good interview. Like, you know, how often. She's been coming for years and years. She started quilting about the same time I did. She says 2006, 2007. And she, you know, to talk to someone who was not from the area, who'd been, and she'd been coming to the quilting party for, she said, 5 or 6 years. And she loved it and et cetera. But I said, but also, because the man and I would like to do one of these short docs for Folklife on the heritage quilters, and my friend Jerry Ann, who I like very much, is not always like the most responsive person to email. She's really busy. And so Belinda was like, "Oh, yeah," you know, I just felt like, okay, this is my connection to that. And also, she struck me as somebody who's in some sort of transition. She's in her early 50s. She told me that. And she said, yeah, basically she was trying to change her life, and she would actually be interested in volunteering for NC Folk. And I was like, excellent. We're going to do some projects. So anyway, but we really just hit it off, and she was there not just by herself, but with, I think she works with at a center for people with, it looked like, I would say, developmental disabilities, not severe. But and one of the things that she does with the people she works with is they make quilts. And in fact, they brought their quilts, and two of them were men who had brought quilts that they'd made. But they hand piece them and hand quilt them. So anyway, so that was really exciting to meet Belinda, to have this connection, to have a contact with the heritage quilters. And if you will recall from a few episodes back, the heritage quilters are a group of African American quilt makers up in Warrenton, NC. They have a house now where they meet and have events, and they are very involved in their community and sort of using quilting as a way to teach, to preach, to help young mothers, to do all kinds of stuff. So they're very cool. So that was wonderful. And then the third person the man interviewed was another one of the daughters of another one of the organizers who actually passed away last year. And she was a very good speaker as well. And she also is hoping that perhaps we could help her next year do some more marketing. It sounds like what happens with this event is there's a lot of articles about it after, but there's not a lot of stuff beforehand. There were a lot of people today. I heard this woman's name was Patsy. Tell the man, it's like, you know, in and out 300 people, not all at once, and so it would ebb and flow. And we left before lunch. Now, here's the thing: I'm so excited to have met Belinda because she comes every year. We're going to be friends and hang out. And then I thought, well, next year I can come and actually stay for the covered dish lunch. You know, as an introvert, that's not something I hop into, but that's what they do at 12. And you see, and there are these tables covered with crock pots and casserole dishes and cake plates, and people bring stuff and they have a big lunch. And here's the thing, it's all free. There's no admission. If you're there at lunchtime and you want to eat, you can eat. You don't have to have brought anything. There's nothing for sale other than there are a couple quilt guilds there raffling off quilts, but otherwise. And there was also a bring one, take one table for books and magazines, and I did bring some books. And here's the cool thing, too, is I scored a prize, which is the Barbara Brackman book, Clues in the Calico. I am very much on the hunt for her block book, which now is like, it costs $100. It's out of print. You can get it in an ebook, but I want the hard copy of this book, and used, it's like $130. So I just think I'm going to stumble across it one day. I didn't get it today, but I did get Clues in the Calico, which is also, I think, only available used on Amazon, but whatever, even if it's available new, it's like $30. So I felt very like, so I got it for free because I brought stuff, so I took that, and I got a few 1980s quilters newsletters. So quilts were beautiful. They do hang some antique quilts, although there's not a, and the antique quilts that were hung wasn't a ton of information. So like, oh, found, you know, got this at an auction, got this at a yard sale kind of stuff. So there had not been any, they had not apparently been appraised. But it was neat. And people, it's funny, people bring their quilts. We ended up talking to a man, he's probably about our age, and he has a 16-year-old daughter who had a quilt hanging, very beautiful quilt hanging there. But it was funny, he said, you know, you come in the morning, and if you're a man, what you end up doing is you get roped into service, and you will spend the rest of the day volunteering. but you do see this, people come in, they're bringing quilts, and the men are hanging them up. So, and then people leave, and they take their quilts, creating space for new quilts. So it was cool. It's all just a cool thing, and it's, again, been going on for 84 years in this tiny community. I mean, it's a crossroads, right? That's it. There's a crossroads, and that is your community. And there's this takes place in the old school gym. The school has been torn down. The gym is still there, but so super old building, terrible acoustics. There's a little produce stand down the street. There's a dollar store. There's the fire department. There's a Mexican restaurant, grocery, right, and literally at the crossroads where two roads intersect. So anyway, that is Eli Whitney. It's beautiful. It's spring is springing here. I am sitting on the porch looking at our really our backyard that seriously needs mowing, and we have our gardens covered up with black plastic except where the lettuce is growing, and I think we will be doing some work out there this weekend. So I think that is my up-to-date news. I do want to thank everyone who commented. I am sitting here with Travis on my lap, which is always beautiful, but I'm a little ways away from my computer. Hold on. Oh, I did want to tell you, Dawn, listener Dawn, who commented on the last episode before last, that she had some quilts that her mother-in-law had passed down to her, and she sent pictures. And I actually posted the pictures. I need to email Dawn. I'll probably do this after I talk to her, after I talk to you guys, on the American Quilt Study Group site. Have not gotten a lot of really useful information. I think it's hard to tell a lot about quilts from just looking at pictures of them. Although I did get a comment from somebody who said although she did not have a lot to say about Dawn's quilts, that she had a similar antique quilt from like 1870, and Dawn's quilt's from 1879. So that's kind of interesting. In any event, I do want to thank everyone for commenting. And so we're going to start with Tammy, who I believe was the first commenter. Yay, Tammy, you go. And then AJ Dub, and people sent thank you ideas for sashing for my In the Garden Block of the Month Club quilt. So I thank you for that. Got a comment from Dorothy encouraging me to try the right angle binding. Do you know what I mean by that? I know Dorothy knows, but where you take the two ends of your binding after you've sewn them on, leaving a little bit of space on either end, and you put the ends at right angles to each other and you sew across, and you know, when I've watched it, it is a beautiful thing. I still haven't been able to make it work for me, but I hope, Dorothy, that one day that it will become as easy and as effective as you say that it would. Heard from Laura, who is reading the book The Girl with All the Gifts. And she said it turned out to be a zombie novel, and she didn't realize that when she started it. By the way, books. I just got one of those things again. Terry, you will recognize this phenomenon where I had all these books on hold at the library, and they all came in at once. And one of them is Bettyville by George somebody. I'll link to it, and I have read about 30 pages in its fabulous. It's a memoir. The author, it might be Hodgman, is in his mid-50s, and his mother's elderly. She's in her 90s and is living by herself, and he moves from New York, where he's been an editor at Vanity Fair and all these different magazines. He's just recently lost his job, and he moves back to Paris, Missouri, to take care of his mother. And it's just this, the writing is beautiful. It's very, very funny. The relationship between Betty and George that is emerging is hilarious and poignant and frustrating and all those things. So, Bettyville, recommend that. Let's see, heard from Noni. So she was weighing in on when does spring really start. She has a grandson with a March 20th birthday, so they consider that the beginning of spring. Heard from Terry, who is having a hard time visualizing the borders on the Big Star quilt, but I tweeted the borders, pictures of the borders, and she approved. Heard from Laura, commenting on sort of the issues that I was talking about last time with my friend, and she said, and this is very, very sweet, how could anyone stay mad at you? I know, it's impossible. It's so hard to believe that anyone could even get mad at me, and yet there you are. I talk about it in the Quilt Diaries that we are at a good place, and hopefully we will stay that way. Got a late comment on episode 155 from Jane D., who says, I'm late with catching up with podcasts, but wanted to say your comments / review of Why Quilts Matter was a much more scholarly and erudite explanation of why I didn't like the series than I could formulate. Well, thank you, Jane D. I appreciate that. And I do think when I finally do put my imaginary fantasy website up, which I think is just going to be called Frances Quilts, I would like to have, and this would be an interactive thing, a place where people could write about why quilts matter to them. Because I think it's something that's interesting to think about and talk about, and I think we have much more interesting things to say than what was said in that series. Speaking of series, I started watching online the Emperor of Maladies, the PBS doc on cancer, and I've just watched the first episode, and it is excellent. Heard from Jay, who agrees with me, that spring starts on March 21st. And she wants me, in regard to my novel, my quilt novel series, which I talked about last week, I'll be interested to see what the terms are. And she said to stick to my gums. Stick to your gums. That's kind of funny. Essentially, stick to my guns and don't compromise. And Jay, I promise I won't. I'm curious, and I'm hopeful that they will be interested. And then we'll go from there. But yes, I don't plan. I think there's so many ways to do this thing that I don't plan on just publishing with AQS just to publish with AQS. But if the terms were good, if they were excited and interested in the series and had some good terms, I would love to publish with AQS. So we shall see. I will keep you guys updated. heard from Tori, who writes, friends are fun, right? Yes, friends are fun. Friends are fun. You know, that's such an interesting thing for me, the month of March, which I'm so, so glad is over. It was not like the best month in the world, but what was, you know, it was hard having this conflict with my friend. And at the same time, I had so much support from other friends in other regards. Particularly, I did this crop walk, which I can't remember if I talked about last time, but I do talk about in the Quilt Diaries. So it's a crop walk for hunger, which your church or community group may be involved with in your hometown. I don't know. This is the first year I've done it, and I asked for donations. And I just asked people for $5, and so many people contributed. And I had friends who, like, pledged $50 and fulfilled their pledge. And so, and a friend of mine came and walked with me, and it made me feel very rich in friends. You know, the man goes to church. He's not the world's most enthusiastic churchgoer at times, but he feels like one reason you should go to church is so that if you get sick, you'll have plenty of casseroles. He's a very practical man, the man is. But and I just felt like, wow, I think we, and the people who pledge are not necessarily, in fact, they weren't church friends, they're just friends. But I do feel that should something happen at the Dal abode, we will have lots of casseroles. So it was a good casserole potential month, March, but I'm happy to be in April. And then I heard from the lovely Kristen, who really loves the Sarah quilt, which we are now calling the Big Star quilt. And she wanted to know if I made up the pattern. I did not. I think it's from an old Bonds and Porter issue, like in the last couple of years. And she says, I bet you will do some awesome quilting in it, no pressure. I am enjoying the quilting. It's all straight line quilting, geometric quilting, and so far it looks good, I think. Personally, I don't quite know how the outer edges are going to look. I'm just doing it a little bit at a time, moving from the center out, which you do anyway most times quilting, which is much easier to do on a small quilt, I have to say, but also as a way of each round of quilting, if you would think of the quilt, you know, just although I'm not quilting in circles, but sort of each, you know, say that it's like a dartboard, and this, you do the center one way, and then the quilting in the center helps to inspire the next concentric circle out, and so on and so forth. It's weird to talk about circles when, in fact, I'm working in rectangles. But there you have it, me and math, through and through. I did not do well in math at school. Surprise! Okay, well, it is time to get this posted and up into the world so you can actually listen to it, and it becomes more than just me talking to myself. So, that's good. But before, let me say thank you, everyone, for commenting. Thanks to those of you who thought about commenting or commented in your heads. I could feel that. You know I love comments, so please do comment, even just to say hey. And tell me what you're reading if you want, because I'm always looking for good book recommendations. So if you want to comment, you can go to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can email me at f as in Francis, Dowell as in Dowell, fdowell@nc.rr.com, NorthCarolinaRoadrunner.com. Okay then, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Monday, March 23rd, 2015, 2015. I don't actually have a ton to tell you, but I want to get back on my weekly schedule, which means I need to start doing Quilt Diaries, whether I have anything to say or not. And as we all know who have listened to this podcast or produce this podcast for any amount of time, I often don't have anything to say. So I don't usually let that stop me. I am very excited because I think today I'm going to get quilting on my friend's quilt that I'm making, the Big Star quilt. Let's call it the Big Star quilt. I love Big Star. Do you know that band? Yes, we'll call it the Big Star quilt. And I'm going to, after I pick up Will from school, I'm going to get set up. I'm excited. I have done a lot of marking The interesting thing about this quilting, as I have it set up now, as I have envisioned it, it will be a lot of straight line quilting, if that's quite the right word, or we'll call it geometric. So say within they're not really diamonds of the star. They're more like parallelograms, you know, but each diamondoid ray of the star. I've just echoed the sides, you know, so if that makes sense. About four echoes of the diamondoid shape. Gosh, I should just take pictures. I'm so bad at this. Anyway, but it's all straight line, right? But it's not straight line up and down the quilt, but it's all, and so you'll just have to see it. But usually, and my tendency has been to counteract straight line shapes with rounded quilting, whether it be pebbles or spirals or what have you. So this is a little bit different, but I think that the modern quilt style of this quilt can bear a little geometric quilting. Maybe I should just call it that, geometric quilting. Although I do have swirls and this and that. But I'm excited, and partly I'm excited because I'm like, oh, I could try this and this. And I started drawing on the quilt with my lovely Mark pen, you know, white lead pencil thingy. I think that is the official brand name. And ideas were coming to me, and I just feel like I'm getting better at that. You guys know I'm always excited when I feel like, oh, I'm getting better. And there's so much better I could get. Anyway, but I have been looking forward to that. And I also, when I bought my thread, if you've seen the picture of the quilt, you know that there's a large expanse of gray. So I have a lot of gray thread. But I also got threads to match the colors or in the same color zone, colorway. So I do have some sort of really kind of peach thread, perhaps a little more intense than peach, for the big star and the other, orange and light orange half square triangles on the borders. And then I got some, I think one or two, I think it's just a sort of turquoise thread for the turquoise and dark turquoise colors. So instead of using just one thread throughout, I think I'll be happy with that. I will let you know in the next quilt diary. I may have a report for you. Other news. Last time, if you listened to the last episode, I talked about this friend in a loving way, I hope, not a gossipy. Well, I was talking about her, and I was talking some trash. No, not talking trash. Just telling you about my situation and this friend who I was afraid was mad at me. And she's not, but it's a little weird. So if you'll recall, we had a conflict of sorts, had to do with the kids and I think her general disapproval of a path I was taking with Will. And I had emailed her a first email to say, hey, this is what's going on. And second email in response to her pretty critical response, or just her kind of unfriendly response. That has a different, if you unfriend someone. So it wasn't like she was unfriending me. It was not friendly in the way that most of my friends and my really close friends, if I had said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I know our kids are in this activity together, but I'm going to take my kid out of that activity for a little while, and here's why. Almost everyone else I know would be like, oh, yeah, totally get that. You got to do what's right for your kid. Yeah, that's great. You know, that to me is like the friendly response that I'm used to from friends. And her response was a very defensive response. Of course, I've reread it and I was like, oh, it's not as bad as I had in my head. But nonetheless, I'm like, couldn't you just give him me like, oh, okay. But anyway, so, and I replied in a very loving and, you know, trying to say like, here's where I am. I want you to understand where I am on this and not, you know, kind of, and don't take it as a judgment on you or what have you. And then she never replied. Okay. So that's what, and then on Thursday, I had worried about it because there was no reply. And in some way, that's happened before with her, more on text, where just the communication kind of shuts off and you don't know what to think. Like, is it just she didn't get it, or she forgot to reply, or has been busy, or, you know, fell off a cliff? You just don't know what happened. So finally, I thought, you know, you're just thinking about this and you're worried about this and you want, you know, it's like enough with the emails and the texts. And somebody even commented, saying, you need to call, quit, and I was like, yeah. And that's, and I got that comment after I called, but I did call, and her husband was home, and he said, oh, she's in the shower. Can I take a message? And I said, yeah, just have her call me. And she didn't call. And then I was just like, I'm like, I can't believe anyone is this upset over this situation. It's not like we were fighting or pointing, she was a little defensive, but not in any way that was nasty. We're not having, so why would you not call me back? So finally on Saturday, I was just like, one of the things I just kept saying to myself was, you don't know what you don't know. Everything from she's had a bad week to just been really busy to just whatever. You don't know what's going on. And that I think that's so often true in situations like this. And especially if you're me and you worry and you don't like conflict and you want conflict to be resolved and you don't like people being mad at you and all those things, and you can go in about a million different ways. Like what, and you don't really know what's going on. So finally on Saturday, I actually sat down and wrote this long email saying, I haven't heard from you, da da da, and this and that. And then I erased it. Well, no, then I saved it. I'm like, don't send this. And see, this is like where, when you get old, you like know, like don't send the email. Sit on it, for a couple hours, for a couple days, just sit on the email. And so I did. And then later I just erased it. I'm like, this is stupid. And I just emailed and said, hoping I was hoping you'd respond to my last email, and then I was hoping you'd call me back. Is everything okay? Maybe it's just you're busy, but if something's wrong, I really wish you would let me know. Thanks. And she emailed back that night and said, oh, David didn't tell me you called, which yeah, may or may not be true, but we're going to take that on face value. And she said, oh, and hold on. And then she said, no worries, all good. I'm reading from the email. I felt like the email banter about youth group was going nowhere but probably south, so I didn't reply. That's the kind of thing where you're like going, okay, fair enough. Sometimes it's just time to say, let's let this go, not going anywhere. Except that I feel like you ought to say, hey, tell you what, why don't we let this go? Not going anywhere. Instead of just silence, the radio silence. And I suspected that there was something along those lines because she's, and I have to tell you, she's a really nice person. She's really funny and lovely. But, I think I talked about the garage. I think I talked about, so, and that to me felt really controlling to go, yeah, this isn't going anywhere. But instead of saying, you know what, this isn't really going anywhere, let's just be okay with each other, which would be a kind and friendly thing to do, she just stopped communication. So I emailed her back and said, cool, that's great. And then I said, you know what, in the future, I would just so appreciate it, even if you think a discussion is not going anywhere, just say, hey, okay, got your email, everything's good, no worries. Just say that. Just so I know you got it, so I'm not sitting there worried going, is she mad? What's going on? Now, I don't know if she will ever do that, because if this is a controlling thing, controlling people like to control, and that would mean her letting go of a little control by actually. But anyway, but I said it, it's over, and the good thing is I get to make this quilt and give it to her, which I think will make her happy. I think if I have any disappointment about this, I actually, this whole situation, in some ways, I feel really good because I like how I handled it. I like that I did not send the long, probably not very useful email and stop and sat on it and just during the week just tried to like not get mad at her or not let my mind go too far. I mean, I did think about it, but I tried when I did think about it, I tried to use it as an opportunity to not be a jerk. And to be real spiritual and stuff about it, but I think if there's anything that's kind of makes me sad or disappointed, is sometimes conflicts like this and friendships, it's a really good way to deepen your friendship if you can sit down and say, let's talk about this, let's get to the heart of this, what's going on here, and how can we, how can we resolve it? And when you can do that, when you can trust a friend to have that kind of talk and maybe go to places where someone you might be hurt or they might be hurt, but you're willing to be vulnerable, it makes you closer. And I think there's a way in which I kind of feel like, we may be as close as we're going to get, and that's fine. We really are very different people, and there really is. I mean, I have friends who are a lot older than me, and I do have friends who are a lot younger, but sometimes that age difference can matter, So maybe in this case, it really does. Maybe when she's 50 and I'm 65, we'll be at a different place because you don't know what you don't know, and you certainly don't know what things are going to be like in 10 years or 15 years. But yeah, so I feel like in some way that's a real missed opportunity. So my hope is that, at least with the quilt, which is, we're quilters, we can admit this to ourselves. They're very lovely gifts. You're really lucky if you have a quilter in your life and that person gives you a quilt. So maybe that will do something. I don't know. And I'm not holding out high hopes for that, but I'm glad to be able to do something nice. I'm glad to not really be in conflict. I'm glad to know more about myself and also more about this friend of mine and kind of what I might, expect in the future. So that is the situation. The situation now is that I need to go get Will from school, and then when I come home, I'm going to set up my quilting space. And yeah, I'm really happy about that. I really am. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Wednesday, 25th of March, which means I'm now officially 3 months late with my Christmas thank you note. I only have one left, so I'm pretty sure I got the one off to my parents sometimes around Valentine's Day, maybe a little later. But I still have another one. So, yes. So today would probably actually be a really good day to write it, just sort of noting the 3 month mark and wasn't Christmas fun all those months ago and how much I'm still enjoying the gifts. So there you have it, a quarterly report on my Christmas experience. It is 10 in the morning. I'm feeling very efficient just because I dropped off my minivan to get new tires, front tires, at 8:30. And my guy, I have a guy. All right, this is a very exciting thing to me that I have a guy. I take my car to John's Exxon on Academy Road. It's like less than 4 minutes from my house, and that's where I get my gas. I always go to John's, and we've lived here now almost 8 years, so that's how long I've been going there, and that's where I take the car to get inspected and to get tune-ups and all the good stuff. And when I need new tires, the man hates like going to Sears or Firestone. He always feels like you're getting ripped off. And or that they find stuff. Well, we were, putting on the new tires, and we realized that your cranking skiffer thingy, was about to fall off. And that's fine. You could probably, not get any fatal accidents because of that for the next 6 months or so. But if you want us to take, so that kind of thing. And so we go over to John's Exxon, and they just get us tires and put on the tires. My guy at John's, his name is Larry. Now, for a long time, I thought Larry was John because he seems to be always the one running the show. For all I know, John is like, Betty Crocker, and there's not really a John at all. But I think there is. But then at some point, I realized I heard somebody calling him a name. Couldn't quite make out the name, but it wasn't John. And the man also confirmed that he did not think the guy thought it was named John was John. And this would not be a huge problem, except he became my guy. And he's very shy. He's probably in his 60s, early 60s, maybe late 50s, but I would say early 60s. And he's from Mississippi, and he's really shy, and he's really nice. And about 2 years ago, after many years, and I make small talk, and I, try to kind of joke around a little bit, and I do that less now because I realize very few people actually find that as charming as I think they might, or some people do, and some people just don't get you at all. So why bother? And but in my sense with Larry, who I didn't know was Larry, who I thought was John, was just that he was shy, and so and but I was always friendly, and but didn't make a lot of jokes, just was nice. And about 2 years ago, he started calling me sweetie. So that's kind of when he became my guy. And he called me, and he called me Francis, as well. He knew who I was. And yes, but he started calling me sweetie. And I just felt like we had gone to this new place in our relationship. And the other day, I got my car inspected a couple of weeks ago, and it passed. He was the one that did the inspection. He said, "You have to get new front tires. Really, I should not have let you pass inspection. You needed new tires 6 months ago, but you need new tires. So I went home and told the man. He said, well, why don't we get new tires there? So I stopped off Thursday and said, could you do the tires? And he said, sure. And we started talking about, first of all, we started talking about dogs. We started talking about cars and dogs. And that's when I found out he was from Mississippi. He'd moved up here from Mississippi. Just had a good old time talking. He's a super nice guy. So, yeah. So my guy, and to be honest, so when he called yesterday, he had to order the tires. So he called yesterday and said, tires are in. And I said, all right, I'll bring the car over at 8:30 in the morning. And I said, now how long will it take? He said, probably noon. We got some other stuff going on. So dropped the car off. Man came and got me and took Travis out for a walk. And I got home from the walk at 9:45. I also ate breakfast in there. I didn't go walking for almost, you know, an hour and 15 minutes. Anyway, you don't need to know that. It's not, yeah. And there was a message on the machine. And Francis, it's Larry. We got your tires on. That was it. So my next door neighbor, Eddie, drove me over. I'm very fortunate in my neighbors. I have really nice neighbors. Yes. So anyway, and I kind of feel like Larry made that happen for me. Sweetie, your tires are ready. So yeah, it's good having a guy. I like having a guy. So I did, there's no reason for me to claim efficiency, right? Other than getting my car over to the shop on time. But it was one of those things where I was going to have to, I'm going to Chapel Hill at 1 to meet a friend for lunch. And so it was all going to be kind of like, oh my goodness, will the car be ready in time? And da, 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 and this and that. And now it's just like, it's ready. It's in the driveway. My chariot awaits for when I'm ready to go. It's like 10 now. And I do have some stuff to do. Tomorrow I'm going to Greensboro to Our Lady of Grace School to do a day-long school visit. These little private Catholic schools are very sweet. They're very nice. And when the media specialist sent me the schedule for it, I was just like, you know, and I thought I could kind of say, yeah, the schedule's too much, but I decided not to. So, because I'm doing just one presentation and then I'm doing writing workshops, I think 4 or 5 of them, which, you know, and they're just 45 minutes long, but it's going to be a long day. So anyway, that's why actually I thought, you know, I need to do a quilt diary today. And that way, if this, and, you know, we'll have 2 good solid quilt diaries. Not that I have a ton to talk about, but tomorrow I'll be absolutely pooped. And then Friday I'll need to, actually Friday, this is sad, I will still be absolutely pooped. But let me tell you where I am on my quilting, on what we're calling the Big Star Quilt. I like that, the Big Star Quilt. My idea, as I talked about in the last diary, is the quilting is going to be primarily what we'll call straight line or geometric quilting. But I had some spots where I wanted to do some really swirls or spirals. Spirals is better. And so I did some of that. And I think on Monday night, and when I did it, it like looks really cool. It looks very nice. The design itself and how I set it out, if I do say, it came out really nicely. But yesterday I started doing some other quilting, again, the straight lines, and which was looking very cool. There are, let's just call them 4 patch blocks, you know, of alternating light turquoise and dark turquoise. And so of squares, alternating squares. Let me finish sentences and phrases here. And so one square, horizontal lines. The square next to it, horizontal and vertical lines. So what we call that a checkerboard, a very sort of dense checkerboard. Then the square below that, vertical lines. And the square next to that, another checkerboard. And it looks really cool. But I was seeing how the spiral stuff, I don't know if this quilt, at least in the center of the quilt, I think it's got to be all geometric. Fortunately, I've not done, I think I only did one little section with the spirals. If I end up taking it out, if I end up dequilting it, that section. I mean, it'll take an evening because you know how that goes. If you've done any unquilting, dequilting, it's a longer process than you think it will be. But in any event, so that's what, and that's going to be interesting. I still don't know when you get into the outer nether regions of the quilt, of the Big Star quilt. I don't know what I'm going to do there, but I'm just working from the inside out. And yeah, but I just feel like those spirals, something about that, the quilt, that part of the quilt is asking for straight lines. You know, that's like when I used to do poetry workshops. You know, I have an MFA in creative writing and poetry, and you know, you talk a lot about in workshops, be like, what is the, and sometimes the poem just asks for something. The poem is telling you what it wants to be, you know, and which sounds a little like hoo-ha, except, you know, sometimes stuff does tell you what it wants to be, and that's obviously just a way of saying you figure out, you know, you understand the forms and the restrictions and the possibilities and what works best. And I just feel like, yeah, I don't think the quilt wants spirals where I have them. So that's okay, because, you know, it's just thread. It's just 4 or 5 hours of my life taking out stitches. But yeah, I love it all. I know every time I start quilting a quilt, I'm like, I love this. I love machine. But I do love machine quilting. I just do. I find it so satisfying, even when it's irritating. And right now I am having some very minor tension problems that I cannot figure out. And I just don't know, because on the top, so doing the turquoise squares and the four square block, I'm using a orange thread underneath. The backing of the quilt is an orange and white print, and it's predominantly orange. So I'm using this orange thread on the bottom and turquoise on the top, and the top is absolutely fine. On the bottom, you're seeing bits of turquoise, and it's tiny. Right? And so I'm trying everything and I can't make it work. And I'm almost wondering, is it just because the threads contrast so much that if I were using orange on top and the bottom, would I not be seeing this issue at all? You know, would it not even, my eye not even catch it? And it's just because I'm using such highly contrasting colors that I am? Or is, you know, is it time to get my machine, whatever you get, that annual thing that we do, inspected. No, not that, whatever. But, you know, get it machined. It's the time to get my machine. I know, I can just hear Quilt and Jenny, Dan and Lana screaming the right word. I hear you, Jenny. Oh, my, I hear your voice in the distance. Well, actually, I don't as I'm recording this. I'm sure like a week or so from now, I'll hear Jenny saying, you're getting your machine, whatever. But yeah, so maybe it is, and it is almost time. I have to find, you know, the best time. I need to start doing this. When we go to the beach, that's when I put the machine in for machining, for tinkering, for upkeep, whatever it is I do. Why isn't that word coming to me? You don't care. All right, so that's where I am. I'm excited because I love quilting so much. And so I hope that Friday and Saturday I will have good quilting days. Really, it's not a big quilt. I should be done with the quilting pretty soon once I know exactly what it is that I'm doing. The other thing I want to tell you, I cannot remember if I talked last week about the crop walk. Did I tell you about this? Well, even if I did, I talked about it last week, it could be months since you've listened to last week, to episode 160. So I'll just remind you, if I did in fact mention it, that this past Sunday on the 22nd, I did what's called a crop walk. And they do it every year in Durham, and I think they do it lots of different places. And it's a lot of church groups and community groups. And essentially, you get your friends and family to make pledges, and you do a 5-mile walk, and then you collect money. And it goes to end hunger, both locally, a certain percentage of the money does stay in the community, and then the rest of it goes to global missions, hunger missions. So I've never done this, and I've always wanted to do it, but I hate asking people for money. But then I came up with this great plan, and I emailed just my local peeps and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I hate asking for money, but why don't you just pledge for $5? I'm just asking people pledge for $5. And that way, one, you don't have to worry about, wow, what's too much money to pledge? What's, you know, what are other people pledging? What's too little to pledge? You know, $5, everyone can, I can, you know, $5 is something I would be happy to pledge for somebody else. And so that's what I'm asking you. And I don't know how many people I sent that out to. Let's say 20. And almost everybody replied really quickly that they would be very happy to pledge $5. And a couple people pledged more. And a old friend of mine, Nancy, who we've known since before Will was born, she pledged $50. She said she doesn't really usually pledge stuff, so except when it's a cause she really supports and a person she really loves. So that was really nice. And then, so it really worked. And people, I just tried to figure out what would work on me. What would I be happy? Because people, you know, mostly the way I support my friends is buying their daughter's Girl Scout cookies, you know, by the ton. Those lemonades. We love the lemonades. But you know, there's other stuff and you'll get, you know, solicitations for pledges for all kinds of good causes. And I thought, what would make me happy? Because you always want to support your friends. You always want to support these good causes, but you know, you've only got so much money and, you can't, like, if you gave $25 to every cause that came down the pike, you'd be broke and that sort of thing. So, and what I thought is if someone asked me to pledge $5, I would not think twice. I would say, sure, I would be very happy to pledge $5. So that's what I did. And people responded and it was really neat. And then I went to my family, my parents and my brothers and their wives and, you know, did not say, you only have to pledge $5 because, you know, I just figured they were probably good. You know, it's family. You can be irritating with family. You can annoy your family. They still have to love you. And I have to say my family was incredibly generous. And in fact, because of my friends and in particular because of my family, I think I was like the highest pledged person walker in our church group. Yes, I think I got the most pledges or the most money. I may have gotten the most pledges too because I asked so many people for $5. So a lot of my pledges are just like $5, $5, $5, $5. But $5 adds up. But here's what's really neat. And this is particularly neat. You know, if you listen to episode 160 and you're listening to this and you know I've sort of had this conflict with a friend, to have all these other friends, you know, just be so generous and just so like, yeah, this is great. It's so great you're doing this. And then on this Monday after the crop walk, I sent out an email and said, okay, I did it. I made it. And here's different ways that you can pay off your pledge. You can mail it. If your kid goes to school with one of my kids, you can send it through school. By this time, a personal pledge page. My sister-in-law, Jessica, suggested I do that I create a page through the crop walk site. So I did. And I said, and you can also just pay online. Well, what happened is a lot of people, when they went to pay online, like they doubled their pledge. Some people ended up paying like $25 or $20. So it was like, I was just, you know, so touched. These people, you know, all I was asking for $5, I was just expecting $5. A lot of people just paid their $5, which is great. That was our deal. And I'm cool with that. But then really a lot of people ended up giving a lot more than they pledged. And I just felt really like, oh, I have such nice friends. And, you know, the man is always saying, it's like the man's reason for going to church, like finding a church where you like. It's like, so if one of us gets really sick or dies, people will bring us casseroles. We need to have enough we need to have enough casseroles. And I realized after, you know, like this past week, it's like we would have enough casseroles. If one of us got sick or died, there would be enough casseroles. And that's a really good feeling. I should say that, you know, I think I posted episode 160 on Saturday. And yes, it's interesting. Sometimes I get a lot of comments right away. And sometimes the comments kind of trickle in. I mean, everyone's very nice about commenting. Don't forget to comment, by the way. People are great about commenting, but it's the comments happen at different speeds for different episodes. I don't know why. I'm sure I could figure it out, but who's got the time? But this was one where I posted it on Saturday, and I think by Saturday night, I had really like five or six or seven really nice comments, and that made me feel like, oh, you know, what nice friends I have out in the ether, out there in the interwebs. But I did feel that was a good feeling too. So I'm feeling very rich with friends right now, and which is very nice after having some conflict with a friend, to have this experience with my very generous friends and of course family. I know my mom's listening to this. She's like, don't forget family. I'm like, yes, very generous family. But so it's just good. Enough casseroles. That's really, I think, especially for us introverts, we're like, that's the bar. Would you have enough casseroles like to get through a month? And I think I would. I think I would. All right. Well, I need to get on and do some other work and get prepared for my day-long extravaganza over in Greensboro. So don't know. I'm not going to finish this up, although I may just come back to do a quilt diary and it'll be 3 minutes long saying, okay, finishing up. But who knows? I might have something else to say before I post. And I do, my plan is to get back to the weekly thing. Fingers crossed. I do feel like next week I'm actually going to be in what I consider my regular routine. I don't have any school visits or Skypes or stuff I got to do, dentist appointments. No, that's a lie. Jack has a dentist appointment. That'll throw me off. But anyway, but basically, we'll be in my routine. We'll be able to go to the gym. I've got my spring bug out of the way. So hopefully I will be able to be steady with all that I do, including this podcast. Okay, talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Tuesday, March 31st. I'm kind of ready for March to be over. It's been kind of, a gloomy March in some ways. And yeah, I'm not complaining. But all just busy and not a routine. There's just not been a month of routine-filled weeks which are the weeks where I thrive, although I suppose it's good from time to time not to be kicked out of your routine. Maybe that's good. I don't know. But it's been a long week. And on Sunday night, I twisted my ankle. Yes, and this is the great irony, is I had been doing some volunteer work over at church. We have a program that we participate in called IHN, Interfaith Hospitality Network. I don't know if this is a local Durham thing or if it's all over the country, but it's basically a program that helps homeless families transition into housing by giving them places to stay and food, helping them secure jobs if they need job skills. Getting them those skills. These are often families headed by single mothers. The children are young. These are women who are not chronically homeless. They've had some bad luck. Sometimes they've moved up to Durham for a man, and the man turned out to not be the man they thought he was, or the job they came up for turned out wasn't here. And so they're just at a loss. Sometimes, they've lost, they were in a job, they lost it, and they just don't have a safety net. And so this program helps them get back on their feet. It's a great program, and I try to volunteer for it. Usually I cook, but the last few times I've volunteered, I've pushed myself to be a host and a dinner host, which means you go and you put dinner on the table. Someone else cooks it, but then you eat with the families and you help them kind of settle in. And sometimes you talk. Every time it's different. When I've done it, it's always been women. And sometimes, actually, always been African American women. And sometimes, everyone's always nice. And, but sometimes they just like, they just want to go up to the rooms. They're just tired. They just want to kind of go and have some privacy. Usually, what I end up doing is playing with the children, which the mothers seem to appreciate, because that's, imagine how. When your kids were little, you really appreciated that too. So, in any event, it's a good thing to do, and I like doing it, although I never really look forward to doing it. Well, I finished, and it actually was a really one of the women was just great. Her name was Yolanda, and she's smart. And her daughter was her name was Promise, and she was really smart. And she read to me, and we sat, and Cat in the Hat and Hop on Pop and all. Yeah, I brought a bunch of Dr. Seuss, and she's in kindergarten. She's just reading these books to me, and just but Yolanda had been in the service and had served in Jordan, and it was just really interesting, and we had a really fun, good talk, and et cetera, et cetera. So I was feeling good about that, and I walked out the building and down the stairs and off the curb, and I tripped. There was a little tiny second step off the curb, and I hit it wrong, and my ankle went over. And I don't know if you recall, but around December, November, December, I injured my foot wearing Birkenstocks, and so that bone on the outside of my right foot, which is supported, you know, there's it was not good. I'm actually, and it was funny because there was a meeting letting out at the other end of the building, and I think it was AA. So here I am looking just like, whoa, and they're thinking, ah. I remember when I used to get that drunk. Anyway, I'm kind of amazed that I was able to drive myself home, but I did. And, got the ice out. And yesterday it was very hard to walk. Fortunately, my lovely neighbors, Jen and Eddie, had crutches, and which they've lent me. And my foot, it's much better today. But those of you who are doing Fitbit, you're not going to see any numbers from me for a while. I think I really need to rest this foot and not make this worse, or really let it fully heal. My friend Cheryl, who lives the next street over, is lending me some sort of foot thing that's supposed to really help. It's sort of like an inflatable cast thing to give your foot support. So hopefully between the crutches and then various things, my foot will get better. But that was not, I just felt like, wow. I was just a good citizen of my church, and now I cannot walk. I'm really kind of tired of March, although in some ways it's been a very good month. I was talking about Crop Walk and how touched I was by all my friends supporting me. And, I've made some new friends at church. We just started going to this church in August, and I've met some people I really, really like. I actually had lunch with my Sunday school teacher, who's a young woman, a youngish woman. She might be in her early 30s. She looks younger than that, but I have a sense that she's older than she looks. But she has two small children. And is a divinity student at Duke, but is Catholic, which is interesting. Anyway, this class she's teaching is called Jesus Was a Criminal, and it's very, very good. And we are reading The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, which I would recommend. So I'm making new friends. So many nice things have happened this month, but yeah, I'm ready to move on. By the way, Thursday is the annual Uncle Eli's Quilting Party in Eli Whitney, North Carolina. I went a couple years ago. I did not go last year because I was out of town. But the man and I are going to go, and we're going to shoot some video, which I will post at some point in the next couple weeks. So that's exciting. That's an exciting quilty thing that's coming up in my life. And before I forget, there's a book I just read recently, a fun book, funner than some of these other books that I've been reading that have been very good, but very serious. It's called Love, Nina, and I will post a link to it. I think the author's name is Nina. I think the last name is Stibbe, Stibbe. It's nonfiction. This Nina was a nanny in the early 80s for a family, a mother and her two children. The mother, whose name is Mary Kay, was the editor at the time of the London Review of Books. She was the ex-wife of the movie director Stephen Frears. And it's a hilarious book. It's in London. And she wrote, and Nina Stibbe wrote these letters to her sister who lived someplace else in England. And they are hilarious. I was about the same age as Nina was when she wrote these letters. Although I was living in the States, there's still some, anyone who sort of, in their 20s and the early 80s will relate. And but it's absolutely, absolutely hilarious. And just I looked forward to reading it every day. So I will post a link to that. I would highly recommend it. And now she's got a novel out, which I haven't gotten my hands on. I've got so much to read. It's just crazy. Anyway, so I'm going to end this up here. And I'm sure there are other things I meant to tell you, but I'm tired from just being in pain. No, I'm not in that much pain, actually, only when I step directly on my foot. It's just been, Sunday. Oh, the other thing about Sunday's Will Got Lost at Church, which is a really, really long story. Just sort of a miscommunication. But this church, it's a big building. But he was, I had dropped him off at Sunday school, and when I, and he was, the man was going to pick him up after Sunday school and take him home. The man often does not go to church during this time of year because his allergies are so bad, and oftentimes on, and he takes medication, but it's not medication. Some of the medication you really can't take every day, so he takes it during the week, and then on the weekends he takes a break from it. So the weekends he often can't breathe, so church is no fun. So we made this arrangement that Will would go to Sunday school, but the man would pick him up after Sunday school. And I went out back after my Sunday school just to make sure the pickup went smoothly, and Will didn't show up, and we couldn't find him. And it turned out I had dropped him off for Sunday school before I parked the car. He'd never shown up at Sunday school. Sunday school was in a different place because it was Palm Sunday. And so I'm thinking, this church, I mean, it's just got all these rooms. And first, and I was like, well, maybe he went into one of the lounges and fell asleep, but the, you know, and so I'm looking all around, and the man's looking. I'm like, maybe the church has gone downtown. Maybe he decided to walk. He couldn't find a Sunday school class, so he decided to go take a walk here, or go down to walk here, and we couldn't find him for 45 minutes. And when your kid is 12, it's a lot different than when your kid is 4 or 5 and gets lost. When your kid is 12 and you can't find him, mostly what you're thinking was, wow, we should really get this guy a phone. But also, you're like, he's not going to get dragged off somewhere. He's not going to get in somebody's car. He's not, you know, well, turned out he did get in somebody's car, but it was somebody he knew. What had happened, and after 45 minutes of not finding him, I was starting to get panicky because it was just getting weird. Where could he have gone? Like, just having your child kind of disappear like that is, you know, it's scary. And, you know, and the police station is the right across from the church, so the man went there, and you know, just to see if like Will had gotten picked up for loitering. But as I was walking around outside the church, one of the ushers walked by. This guy, I see him every Sunday. I don't know his name, but I just, you know, and I just thought, well, I'll ask him. Like, you know, have you seen my son? He's 12. He's got brown hair. And he said, well, I haven't seen him, but maybe he went with a youth group to Urban Ministries, which is a soup kitchen a couple miles away. And I thought, I wonder if Will ran into the youth group kids, some of whom would have been in his Sunday school class, and thought that was Sunday school. So the man drove down to Urban Ministries, and that's what had happened. It shouldn't have happened because we didn't sign Will up to do that. And so the youth group leader should not have let him go. But apparently there were a couple people helping out who were not, don't usually help out, so they didn't know that. They're not supposed, you know, you have to get permission from the parents to let the kid go off campus. So all's well that ends well, but I feel like, you know, it's Tuesday and I'm still kind of recovering from that too. So maybe next week when I come back to you, I'll be a little more energetic, and I will have stuff to tell you about Eli Whitney, and I am doing some very fun quilting on the Big Star quilt. I still got a little bit more to do. Of course, I was hoping to get it done this weekend, and that did not happen. But who knows? We'll keep working. What's nice is I don't have a lot this week. The man and I are going to Eli Whitney on Thursday. But otherwise, there's not much going on, and I don't have any plans this weekend. I may try to get my hair cut because it's a mess. But otherwise, so anyway, more quilting, less talking. Oh my goodness. Maybe that's going to be my new motto. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's how I should end. More quilting, girls, less talking. Maybe. I'll think about that. Anyway, but for now, I'll stick to all right, I'll see you soon. And don't forget, life is short. Quilt first. All right, bye.